Lord, you are the one that set us apart. You are the one that called us to yourself. You are the one that we pursue. You are the one who has redeemed us. Guide us in this time that the words of my lips and the meditations of our hearts will be acceptable to you, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. And we say amen.
Amen.
I'm going to read some scripture passages. This is a conversation Moses had, a piece of the conversation Moses had with God as he tried to call Moses to deliver the people from Israel. And God says, or Yahweh says, I have indeed heard the cry of my people, and I see how the Egyptians are oppressing them. Now I am sending you to the king of Egypt so that you can lead my people out of this country. But Moses protested to God, Who am I to appear before Pharaoh? Who am I to lead the people of Israel out of Egypt? And God answered, I will be with you. And this is your sign that I am the one who sent you. When you have brought the people out of Egypt, you will worship God at this very mountain. But Moses protested, If I go to the people of Israel and tell them, The God of our ancestors has sent me to you, they will ask me, What is his name? Then what shall I tell them? You notice Moses is really digging here for some reason. I don't know your name, so can't send me. And then follow up into the next chapter. But Moses protested again. What if they won't believe me or listen to me? What if they say the Lord never appeared to you? And then again. But Moses pleaded with the Lord. O Lord, I am not very good with words. I never have been, and I am not now, even though you have spoken to me. I get tongue-tied, and my words get tangled. Then the Lord asked Moses, Who makes a person's mouth? Who decides whether people speak or do not speak? Hear or do not hear? See or do not see? Is it not I, the Lord? Now go, I will be with you as you speak, and I will instruct you in what to say. But Moses pleaded, Lord, please send someone else. And it goes on, this is Gideon, another section. It says, Then the Lord turned to him and said, Go with the strength you have and rescue Israel from the Midianites. I am sending you. But Lord, Gideon replied, How can I rescue Israel? My clan is the weakest in the whole tribe of Manasseh. And I am the least in my entire family. And that takes us to Jeremiah. The Lord gave me this message. I knew you before I formed you in your mother's womb. Before you were born, I set you apart and appointed you as my prophet to the nations. O sovereign Lord, I said, I can't speak for you. I'm too young. And the Lord replied, Don't say I'm too young, for you must go wherever I send you and say whatever I tell you. And don't be afraid of the people, for I will be with you and will protect you. I, the Lord, have spoken. And then the Lord reached out and touched me by the mouth and said, Look, I have put my words in your mouth. There's a theme here, the theme throughout Scripture. People getting called by God. People explain to God why he made a mistake. God saying, I called you, I don't care, you're the one. It happens with Paul, it happens with Gideon, it happens with Moses. There's other themes that go through here of God using murderers, deceivers, tax collectors to do his purposes. There's another theme here. That God uses the weakest, the least, the most unlikely, the second born, not the first born, to do his purposes. For God has called Jeremiah. What does this mean? God has set him apart from before he was born for this purpose. From before he existed, God had this purpose for him. It's not that Jeremiah had some quality that God looked at and said, wow, that is great, that's my guy. It's that God called him, therefore he had the quality. Does that make sense? That God set him apart, therefore he was God's. It wasn't he was special, so God said, I'll take the winner. In fact, there's a general theme throughout Scripture that the strongest people are never chosen by God. Not saying there's no gifted people, but God does not show his purposes through the strengths. He shows his purposes through weakness. He shows his purposes through humility. This is a theme throughout Scripture. And so when Jesus comes and speaks to the people in his own village, which is a very poor, backwater town, and he speaks at the synagogue and he unrolls the scroll and he teaches and says, I brought good news to the poor, to the imprisoned, to the blind. He's saying, I've come to the weak and those who are in need. I have come. This is who I come to. The part that upsets the people is that he also says, and I've come to the Gentiles. That's what he's saying in that text. That's why they get so mad. I've come to the unclean people. The unholy people. The unsanctified people. The people I had not set apart. I have come to them. And this theme of God coming and serving the weakest, the least, the most outcast, the widows, prostitutes, drunks, impoverished, abandoned, Samaritans, the whole crew. And Jesus himself does not come as a king, but as a peasant, showing his humility, showing that call to humility. He comes and he does not conquer, but he dies on a cross. Right? He dies on a cross for what? For us. He lays down his life. He did not have to. He chose to. For us. Because in power, in the drive for power, the drive for control and status and all of this, you cannot love. The drive for power is devoid of love. It has to be. To get everything, to have it all, all you have to sacrifice is love and joy and peace in your family. Right? All you have to sacrifice are the things that make you human. The things that we truly want and desire. But in humility, in this call to humility, this call to the cross, right? In humility, we can love. At the cross, where we say, you know what, we are sinners. You know what, I don't do the right things. You know what, I don't serve God or love God like I should. I don't love people like I should. I don't love myself like I should. At the cross, we can love. Because it is the greatest expression of love that people have ever seen. The expression of humility, of laying ourselves down. And this is the problem in Corinth. In this text we read about the Corinthian church. See, the Corinthian church was a vibrant church, full of very sophisticated people, full of the spiritual gifts, where God moved in power, but devoid of the cross. Devoid of what the cross says. And because they were devoid of the cross, you can see in Corinthians, he's just pushing the cross. Remember, he had to die for you. Remember who you are. But they were just divided and arrogant, striving for power and expressing, you know, speaking in tongues and prophecy and all these gifts, which I know in our day and age, we say, well, if those gifts are there, that's a great place. And if there's all these gifted people that we set apart, it must be a great place. But Paul is like, it's not, because they're not edifying each other. They're not building each other up. They're not taking that which they have, those gifts, and building up the weakness of the others in the community. They're just arrogant and prideful and unloving. All right, spiritual arrogance. But how do you be humble? Our humility, remember God's call to the people, was in their weakness. To be loving in the community, you have to remember your sins. You have to look at them. To be humble in a community, you have to press into your weaknesses, your inadequacies. You have to press into your inability to speak clearly. You have to press into your age, your health issues, all the things that we struggle with. Because it is in the weakness that God is made complete in us. It is in our struggles that we meet Christ. It is in the struggles where we find the cross, which is the most important point in the Christian faith. So that's where we find God. And we realize that because of the cross, because God has taken upon himself all of our sins and given us all that he has accomplished, we are set apart. We are called, sanctified, and holy before God. Not because of who we are, but because he's called us. And if he's called us, and if he can use Moses, a stuttering murderer, to deliver the people of Israel from slavery, if he can use Paul, the persecutor of the church, who was not a great known for, as a great communicator, to build his church, he can use us and will use us. Not because of what we can do and how great we are. And we do have gifts, and those are great. God, thank God. But because we need him. Because we are dependent on God. Because we come to the conclusion that we cannot do it without him. That we are dependent on God. Because we are a community who can stand humbly before God and love one another. Because if you know who you are and what you struggle with, you will forgive others for who they are and what they struggle with. If you know your own pain, you will have mercy on those who are in pain. I am all for us having the gifts of the Spirit and God working in powerful ways. I pray that God does, but I pray that it is in humility. I pray that we can trust God that He will actually work in our weaknesses for His glory, first and foremost. From weakness to strength. From the cross to the resurrection of the dead. And God will raise you up, and He will work in you and use you. He promises it. He will do it. Because of who He is. Thank God. I don't know about you, but for me, I am relieved. I am relieved that I can be here before you, not as some mighty conqueror, mighty holy man, but as a sinner in need of God, as a person who struggles every week. And I know, and I take hold of that, and it teaches me to love, and it teaches me who God is, and it teaches me how much God loves me, and how far He's come to me. And what greater symbol of this in the practice of our church is there than the coming up here and eating this meal? This bread and wine. This remembrance of Christ's last meal with His disciples who all abandoned Him and fled. Peter, who denies Him 3 times. Judas, who betrays Him. Right? That meal. And yet this is the meal where we meet God. And He feeds us. We do not take it from Him. But He gives us the bread and the wine of His body and blood. To sustain us and give us strength. He feeds us to maturity. Because humility before God and before one another is a sign of spiritual maturity. This arrogance that the church in Corinth was showing forth was a sign of their immaturity, of their childishness. So let us come and eat and thank God that we don't have to be holy rollers. We don't have to be without sin and blemish. But in fact, the very point of the cross is that we are broken people with broken places in our lives who God has met and will feed. Praise God. Amen. Because it's just too much pressure the other way. It really is. Because I don't know about you guys, but I can reflect on my life and pretty quickly be like, well, why am I here? So, thank God, and let's pray. Lord, You have called us to be Your body. You have called us before Your cross. You have given us Your Spirit. You have empowered us for the mission. You have blessed us with the promise of the resurrection of the dead, the restoration of all, the end of suffering, and the hope of glory. Bless our hearts and guide us this day and every day. That we will continue to be Yours through faith, and You will continue to be ours through love. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, Amen.